Welcome to the Storefront Church radio program. I'm Brother Freddie Wilbanks, and thank you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial or this radio station's internet connection, or our website, webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1724, the initial air date for this program is Sunday, June 11th, 2017. Thanks to everyone who prays for this ministry and tunes in every week. Make yourself comfortable. There's plenty of room for everyone at the Storefront Church. If you like, you can stand or sit right there. Some like to stand during the music and the worship. Now that you're here, we want you to just rest in the peace of Jesus Christ and worship with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom by faith we can have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the support of our listeners. Wouldn't you like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program? Give us a call at area code 989-871-9668. Help us to reach the world with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ by calling 989-871-9668 with your pledge of support. The number once again is 989-871-9668. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesaning, Michigan also sponsors this program. We want to thank the volunteers of today's Evangel Band, getting ready to join us vocally in a moment is Brother Walter Kinsey. Already playing on a big old grand piano is Sister M. McKnight. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival in this nation, a nation that needs to call out in repentance to the Lord God Almighty. Pray for repentance among our corrupt government officials, bureaucrats, fellow citizens, and the invaders and those who are stationed in what we refer to as the deep state. Agree with us for the Holy Spirit's guidance in scheduling prayer meetings and revival services. Agree with us in prayer for our veterans, missionaries, and fellow Christians, many whom have been killed and wounded because of the Word of God, profession of faith in Jesus Christ, righteousness, this country's constitution, and its Bill of Rights. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, stand or have a seat, pick up one of those dog-eared hymnals, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this hour we're really not going to use that old hymnal, so you can put it back down on that homemade pew. We're going to do some worship choruses. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Thank you. watch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Let us lift up holy hands.
magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Fill my cup,
afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me children, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Yes, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, he is Lord.
For he is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Yes, he is Lord.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, he is Lord.
Yes, our Heavenly Father, so glad that you are our Lord. And Lord, we don't understand it. Every knee shall bow. And right now we're experiencing, and I understand it's going to get worse. There's so many people defying you, defiant. And you are the last things on their minds, and they just won't surrender to you. But yet, Lord, there's a day coming. There's a day coming when it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And we're so thankful for the songs that we've been singing tonight. That first song we sang, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Lord, you're concerned for us, and you open your arms to us and you welcome us. You say, come to me, and I will give you rest. Lord, if we come to you and confess our sins, that you will are faithful and just, and you will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just thank you for that. Reach out and touch, Lord, as he passes by. And Lord, we truly today, we have come into this house, gathered in your name, and we want to worship you, give you honor and praise. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us, that our worship today would be pleasing and a fragrant aroma pouring out to you, whether it be in song, whether it be in testimony, whether it be in the preached word. We pray that you will receive honor and glory. And today, Lord, we want to pray for our leaders in the world. We want to pray for our president, the cabinet, and all those serving in the official capacities and leading our nation, Lord. We know we're kind of divided. It wasn't a split nation. And from what I understand, really our president didn't win the popular vote, but he won the electoral vote. And there's a lot of feelings against him. Lord, we pray that somehow there can be a healing come of this, Lord, that people will put things aside, and the Republicans and the Democrats and those who didn't vote for President Trump can somehow lay aside their differences and come together and become a unison in unity for the betterment of our country, Lord. They need to work together and to accomplish great things. Be with our leaders, not only our national leaders, but bring it on down to the local government, our states, each state governments. And we pray the governors and their cabinets, Lord, the many differences, each problems that each state has, we pray that you would give wisdom to our leaders, these states, and representatives that represent each county and the districts and our local townships and things. Lord, pray for our leaders. There's many Many townships are facing many different struggles, and many of them are, all of them, basically, we don't know any that are not struggling financially and can use extra finances to help govern and rule and help make things better in their communities. So we pray for them at this time. We pray for our pastors today, Lord, standing behind the pulpits, preaching their hearts out, giving people opportunity to find you. And we just pray that you would anoint them in a special way. Give them freedom to preach the word. And we pray that you would anoint them in the moving of the Holy Spirit. Again, we pray for missionaries around the world, Lord, serving you unselfishly, giving up their personal lives. Many of them, there are many of them serving here in the local communities in the states in the United States, but yet many of them are going abroad in other countries and are serving to spread the gospel and to bring others to a saving knowledge of you. And so we pray that you would anoint and bless our missionaries wherever they may be. We pray that you would be with Brother Freddie today as he brings out the word. And we appreciate Freddie and how he's been preaching the word, and he's been preaching hard, seems like the last, several weeks in particular. And we just pray that again that you will anoint him and touch him today as he brings your word of life to us this day and to those that are listening via the airwaves or the internet. Again, bless him. Pour out your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, brother, for going to the Lord in prayer for us and laying these things upon the altar of God. Well, Sister M. McKnight, do you have a special for us this hour?
Well, Walter and I do.
All right, then.
The same.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now. Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. Again.
Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, revive us again. Amen. Let us present ourselves as living vessels, emptied out of self, cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and revive us by filling us to overflowing with your Holy Ghost in power. That is our prayer. That is my prayer. Yes, hallelujah. Well, this message is message 1724, and it's scheduled to air on Sunday, June 11th, 2017. And the title of this message is Real Prayer is Warfare. We've been reading and sharing out of the book of Daniel about prayer and emphasizing his life of fasted prayer and trying to, if you will, flesh out and describe a little bit more than what normally is shared about this man's prayer life, and use that his example to challenge us that we might become and see, that we might see and we might become the prayer warriors that God, the Lord God Almighty, would have us to be. So real prayer is warfare. Let's turn back to the scriptures first, because the Word of God is the most important thing that we will share with you this hour. Amen. The pure, unadulterated Word of God. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, we read again, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." Now I want to stop before I read this next verse. And he wasn't dumb. There's been such a perversion of our language over the decades. But we used to, I remember hearing commonly that referred to the deaf and dumb, meaning those who couldn't hear and couldn't speak. But liberals have tried to take over, and to some degree have had great success taking over the language. And they think that they're enlightened, but in many ways they have perverted the language, because truth is blunt. Truth is many times to the point. You know, you ask someone a question, and you and people hate politicians when they get asked a question. People really ask a question, and they want a yes or no answer. Now, I realize sometimes it's not easy to give just an answer, yes or just a no answer. And sometimes it's impossible to give just a yes or no answer. But sometimes people just go to great lengths not to answer yes or no in the attempt of keeping truth from people, because they don't want to offend people and don't want to lose the support in the case of a politician. So many of us want a yes or no answer. And so God's word here speaks of this man of God being dumb. It meant he couldn't speak. Once again, we were dealing with a man who has been in a fast and fasting prayer for 21 days now. And I just felt compelled to share that. And then we'll go on to the 17th verse. "For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." Real prayer is warfare. Some things have happened in this last week, or just prior to us, the days prior, actually while we're recording this. The president of this country went on his first foreign trip to visit other countries and other lands. And people, I want to include myself, have been praying for this president. We're apprehensive because who is this man? Who really is him? Who is he? And like with the prior president, many people projected their hopes and aspiration into someone they knew nothing about. And so it is that many times people put faith in someone that they know nothing about, hoping against all hope that good happens or something happens. And so this man who, in many ways, there is an example of great contrast and contradiction at times, went on this trip. And there were those of us who are praying for him, just like we did for the prior president. We endeavor to pray for this president and these government officials, just as our brother led in prayer just a few moments ago, shared in prayer. We pray for them. We pray first and foremost for their salvation, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin and bring them to a place of repentance and submission to the Lord God Almighty, and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and accepting the direction of the Holy Ghost and power, and not only just in their personal lives, but in everything. Because contrary to what many in the world would say, if you live a life of God's Word, you're living a life of truth. And sometimes, as I said earlier, just a moment ago, truth is blunt. Truth sometimes, if it will hurt your feelings. So there are many who say they want to know the truth, they want truth, but yet when truth is shared with them, they allow their feelings to be hurt. I've experienced this myself. I've wanted someone to tell me the truth, and then after I hear it, I'm checked in my spirit, or I'm offended because I really wasn't prepared for the truth that was shared with me. But we're praying for this president. And while he's been on this journey, some things have happened. We pray for him, and we pray for his physical, spiritual, and mental well-being, and we pray for this country. Because he is, regardless of, as our brother shared, whether more than 50% of the people like it or not, for this moment, for this hour, for this time, he is the representative, the national representative of this country. And so we pray God's best in his life, just we prayed for God's best in the prior president's life, even though he did many, many things that we did not like, did not feel lined up with God's word, did not represent truth. Matter of fact, I'll go this a step farther and say, as I've shared with people in private conversations, that I'm almost of the opinion that whatever the former president did, if the exact opposite had been done, we as a nation, as a people, would be better off. There are some that will recoil from that, but in my heart, I believe it. But anyways, we prayed. And real prayer is warfare. And as this current president was in the Middle East, visiting these past few days, there was a national radio host who went and broadcasted his program from the Middle East, from Israel. He went to Israel for the first time and got set up there, and as the president first went to Saudi Arabia and then to Israel, this radio, national radio host was there broadcasting, and he was interesting, some interesting people, and I want to apologize that I don't have the names of the people that he has interviewed over the last couple of days, because I really didn't know that I was going to share this hour. But one of the people that he was interviewing was someone who was involved in what was referred to as the Six-Day War. And, you know, there are some people who recoil from getting older. But as I was reminded at work today, there are benefits from getting older because I have been able to see and live some history that someone who was born after me, much younger, much later than I was born, didn't get the privilege of experiencing and living through, and so their context of events is not the same as mine. I like to think of, and I believe God's word bears out, that the older you are, the more that people are, they don't do it, but they are supposed to revere and cherish the older, the seniors, the aged, if you will. And because sometimes, especially those who seek God's face, with age and time comes a measure of wisdom and comes a measure of understanding just by living through and experiencing some things. And I remember as this gentleman was interviewing on the radio, I remembered those days of the Six-Day War. And it came, those memories came rushing back. I can tell you that I was in church services during those days of the Six-Day War. And I know that before the Six-Day War, during the Six-Day War, after the Six-Day War, people were praying. And just as the Jewish people who had been attacked were defending themselves and were in a physical battle, there were people, there were Christians in this country who were on their knees and on their faces before God, praying for His will to be done and praying for the Jewish people who were under attack and who their enemies at the time, Egypt and Jordan and different Arab nations around about them, wanted to try to attempt to drive them into the sea. And their attempt to drive them in the sea backfired upon them, and it was turned around to where they were victorious. And one of the things that happened during that Six-Day War was that the Jewish government, the Israeli government, became governors, if you will, overseers of all of Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem. And I remember those who preached prophecy and were sharing things like what we're sharing out of Daniel and out of the Bible. They, in their spiritual life and in their prayer life, they marked this as at least a partial fulfilling of Scripture, because something that had not been in existence for 2,000 years happened. The Israeli people were over and controlling all of Jerusalem in the old city, in the eastern Jerusalem. And some things were shared in this broadcast and brought back memories. Memories of people being in prayer, because prayer is warfare. True prayer is warfare. Real prayer is warfare. And what is some of the things that are in eastern Jerusalem? Well, there, that's the place where King David originally had his capital. And that's where his palace and these things were. And there's different things that happened there. The Mount of Olives is close by. And some of the vast cemeteries that are there where the saints of God and the children of God and different ones have been buried there. Different prophets of God's word that are mentioned in God's word in Jewish kings and Israeli kings from over 2,000 years ago are buried there. And what happens, what happened in that 2,000 period? Many times, those burial places and places that we look at as maybe historical sites and some people call holy sites, but at least we acknowledge them as being historical sites, they were desecrated, they were ruined, they were disrespected. And Christians couldn't go there and see those places. Jewish people could not go there and see those places. And that area is what the people of the Palestine Liberation Organization want to take control of. That's where they want to have their capital. And right now, with the Jewish people being in control, all people of all faiths can go there to the various historical sites and go there and visit them. And we know that wherever the Muslims have come in and have complete control, Christians and Jews are not allowed. And they're not. And those places that are historical places many times are destroyed and disrespected and desecrated. So in 1967, the Jewish people, while prayer was going on, Real prayer is warfare. And even though the Jewish people won the physical battle, the Christians and those praying and interceding had gained spiritual victory. And spiritual victory that came through prayer. In Daniel, the 10th chapter, well, let me go back. Before, there is one other thing that I want to mention as well about prayer. We pray for the president. And I remember during the 1980s praying for President Reagan. I didn't know how to take President Reagan at first, but I knew that Jimmy Carter had been a very weak president and a very weak man. And I was, on an individual basis, on a personal basis, I wanted to give Ronald Reagan a chance. And so many of us around the country and around the world prayed for Ronald Reagan. And a lot of things happened during his administration. But in this radio broadcast, on another broadcast that I was listening to that has been shared in the last couple weeks, another man was being interviewed. And during President Reagan's time in office, actually before then, this Jewish man who was being interviewed was a Russian Jew, and he, because of his stance against the violation of human rights and being deprived to practice Judaism, to make a long story short, he ended up in gulag or prison. And he was taken away from his wife and suffered many things for many years at the hands of the communists. Communists are brutal people. And I need to point out right now while I have this opportunity the domino effect. First, you start out with someone who's progressive. You know, they see things in a progressive manner in comparison to what was established by our Constitution that was based on the principles of God's Word. And then they become a leftist. And then it gravitates to socialism. And then goes into communism, which ends up in tyranny. It ends up in government control. And ultimately you have either one individual or a small group of individuals lording over, governing over people brutally and restricting what they can and cannot do. And this Jewish man was placed in prison. And he was tormented and tortured and treated terribly because he dared to speak what he believed. And God help us if we don't keep praying and if God doesn't intervene, there will come a day here where those of us who speak what we truly believe will be persecuted much more than what we were during the prior administration and what was done to groups like the Little Sisters of Mercy or whatever their real name was that I always butcher anyways. But different ones were persecuted, and they were separated from their wealth, their money, their possessions for things that they didn't believe in. But this man was in prison, and while he was in prison, President Reagan came into office. And he wanted to give a speech. And he kept arguing with his speech writers. He wanted to refer to the Soviet Union as the evil empire. And I remember there was a battle. I wasn't aware of the battle between him and his speech writers. They would take it out. He would put it back in. And ultimately, when he gave the speech, he referred to Russia as the evil empire. It made the Russians mad. It made Rhino Republicans mad. It made progressive, liberal, socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and Republicans mad. All these people, the news media went nuts. I remember this, just like I remember what happened during the Six-Day War. I remember what happened during the time of President Ronald Reagan and how many people had a fit that he had the audacity to take such a bold move and say that the Russian government was an evil empire. But what happened is these people who were in prison were not allowed to read very much other than Pravda, the government paper. And when they were allowed to read anything at all while in prison, that was it. And as the columnist And the writers of Pravda had written and were very upset and was ripping into President Reagan, just as many politicians in the United States was ripping him for making this statement, the evil empire. The people who were in the deepest, darkest dungeons who got to see this rejoiced because they had hope. They had hope that someone in the West recognized what was going on and had the audacity, the strength, and the fortitude to call what it was is an evil empire. In essence, to call sin, sin, or wickedness, wickedness. And God wants us to stand up and call sin, sin, and wickedness, wickedness. And it's not popular. What President Reagan did at that time was not popular. But because of that stand and because what President Reagan done, this man, because he called the Soviet Union under human rights violations and called them an evil empire, this man says he ultimately, shortly thereafter, and I'm abbreviating this, the actual account, received his freedom. And one day he met President Reagan and thanked President Reagan for referring to Russia as an evil empire. And during that period of time, many were on their face praying. And what was a battle of politicians and a battle of words between governments and arms build up and all these things, in that instance, the leader of the free world, the President of the United States, won victory. But it really, in the background, there was real prayer, which is warfare, was going on. And so we go back to the book of Daniel for a moment. And you see that he is talking and it's revealed to him that the prince of Persia, which is a satanic power, that in Persia is Iran today, and those of us who understand realize that there's a spiritual force behind Iran, and this spiritual force, this spiritual being, warred against the angel of God and held him up for 21 days. And another angel, Michael, came along, and who is a chief prince, the chief prince among the angels, came and helped him, and he remained there battling with the kings of Persia. We don't see the spiritual battle that's going on and raging in the world today, but it's real and it's going on. And it says, I have come now to make you understand what shall befall thy people in latter days. And as I referred to last time, the latter days in part is what was going on right at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. But also, there is a gap in history from that time until what I will refer to as the end of the Gentile or the end of the church age. And there is yet hanging out there a seven-year period. Daniel refers to it as 7 days. It's a seven-year period that's hanging out there. And Daniel is being shown these things, what's being happening at the end of the ages as it's dealing with in the time of Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection, and also just as what's coming on the scenes beyond this gap of time when Jesus will come again to this world. And so Daniel's being showed these things, and the angel's telling him to make him understand. And so there is a promise here for us too, if we will take and hang and grab a hold of it, that we can understand what we need to know for the day in which we live in. And we can make sense of things through God's word, the truth of God's word. And we can make sense of things by entering into true prayer. Not just the children's prayer of now I lay me down to sleep, but to real prayer where we are groaning before God and seeking God's face, and he will give us the understanding that we need for the day, and he will give us the peace that we need in the middle of the torment and turmoil, that's going on. He will give us everything that we need. And we will, as we enter into true prayer, which is warfare.